You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
Hora número tres of the Sports Hangover. Going to be joined by Andrew Lopez this hour, underscore Andrew, underscore Lopez. Join the intern still here, basking in another loss of an argument yesterday. We'll ask Andrew his take. Cover the Pels for your Times Picayune. We're going to have a little fun, too. I want to finish up our discussion, obviously, on a little college football. We spoke with Phil Steele. We've had Jeff Duncan on at 12:15, talked to him a little bit about the Michael Thomas situation earlier this morning. We'll kind of reset things for you. And Andrew, feel free, you can jump in and give your take on all of these as well. But we started out this morning by yesterday Cam Jordan on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. Had this to say.
Speaking of money, though, Michael Thomas, we were talking about it a little earlier.
Pay the man.
Oh, there, Cam, you dig it. Highest paid receiver in the league.
I mean, nobody's done what he's done in his first three years. Highest paid.
Ooh. All right, simple.
Nobody's catching.
Is it that simple?
More receptions? Who's had more in the first 3 years?
And he's the guy.
Yeah. His catch rate speaks for itself.
85 plus.
Andrew, this morning on Get Up, Mike Greenberg, Marcus Spears said, no offense to Michael Thomas, but he's not Antonio Brown, Bernard Hopkins. Julio Jones, and Odell Beckham Jr. He's just below them, so he shouldn't be the highest paid receiver. We spoke with Carlos Medina, 980 The Fan in Atlanta. He says, you pay special. That's why Julio is to be paid, and it's why Michael Thomas can pay. You pay special. 97 catches, the difference between Michael Thomas and the next Saints wide receiver, Tre'Quan Smith. They have a couple of guys above him that have catches, but they're nowhere near the 128. Is Michael Thomas deserving of being the highest paid receiver in football?
I think he's deserving of being one of the highest paid. I'd say top three, top five. But the thing with money in the NFL is you're always trying to reset the market. So even if Michael Thomas becomes the highest paid guy next year, he probably won't be the highest paid guy 2 years from now. Somebody else is going to, it's somebody's agent is going to say, well, he can do more than this. But to you look at what Michael Thomas has done, and you compare it to what Colston did in this offense, you compare it to what Brandon Cooks did in this offense, and it is so much more that he does deserve to be in that upper echelon and be in that conversation with those guys as one of the best wide receivers in the league. But when what, maybe you have to pay him a little bit because of how much of a bargain you've had him on for the last 3 years. So maybe you give him a little extra to, hey, man, you were producing like $1 million receiver while we were paying you $560 or whatever it is.
Exactly.
So maybe you got to, you know, pony up a little bit more.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I look at. It's the fact that everyone knows he's the guy that's getting the football and he gets open. So if you want to give your take on that, I think, yeah, it's deserving. He's asking for 22. They're asking, the Saints are saying we're comfortable with 18. So I think maybe they settle for 20, Andrew, at some point around there.
It's gotta be 20. Yeah. I think Duncan put out the 22 number.
Yeah.
19, 20 million a year. Yeah. I mean, if you go five.
You could figure that extra mil out in a signing deal, a bonus,
you
a
get
roster
482,
bonus.
Yeah, you know, exactly. 478, 480. Yeah. Or if you get him to 500, if you want to make him $100 million guy, get him to 500 and let's call it a day.
But the right thing to do in doing what they did with Cam Jordan and doing with Michael Thomas, start paying Pipers now rather than do it all at once. It makes sense. It sends a great message to the organization all the way around.
I just want to talk about it for a second. I don't know how Mickey does this. Like, I don't know how, like, the cap gymnastics that Mickey Loomis has to do, bravo.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how he does it. I don't know how the Saints manage to have this money year after year. You shouldn't have money to do what you're doing right now. You know, and I mean, I don't know how much dead cap they have right now, but it's ridiculous how much he just, makes the little things work in order to keep his team
together. Figures it out. He makes a way to make it happen. So, again, if you want to chime in, 800-998-1003, it's real easy as to what I think. I just look, it makes sense. But you'll at least get that opportunity to see it. I wanted to end the conversation we're talking about with when it comes to LSU. The caravan was here yesterday and making the trip. There is a lot of excitement. Brady, you mentioned, Joe Brady. And when you have those talented running backs, and you covered the prep beat for a while, too, before you did LSU and you did, Pels here. You have receivers. Skill position has never been the issue. It's how you use it, when you use it, and obviously the line. Bama's going to have a good line. It just is what it is. But to wait to beat Alabama's, you have to make them defend. You have to spread the ball. You can't just pound it at them and go to their strengths. And I asked Phil Steele the final question. Freshman players, not just quarterbacks, is this now the norm, the trend? Should we just accept freshmen can come in and make a championship-level impact on your team? And he said yes, a resounding yes, big yes. So two running backs that are freshmen, I think they can come in and really help.
Tyrion Davis, John Emery are both going to make impacts on this roster next year. Wide receivers freshmen all over are going to make impacts. I mean, Ogeron was talking yesterday about he forgot that Derek Stingley was a freshman.
Right.
Like, Derek Stingley is going to make that kind of an impact.
He
forgot.
Yeah.
Like, that's how mature he is. He's been obviously he's been there since bowl practices. And he might have been the best cornerback during bowl practices. Granted, they had like four guys out. But he is going to make not only that kind of impact on the defensive side, he's going to make that kind of impact in the return game, which is something that they need.
It's been a while, right? Let's be honest.
They need that. I mean, you know.
Would you say since Honey Badger?
Yeah, because when you had Tre'Davious White back there, like Tre'Davious White had a touchdown each year he was returning punts. But he would have one, and then like he'd have like an 80-yard touchdown, but then you look at his average and he'd be like 6-7 yards a carry because he'd have one where he went backwards 12 yards. DJ Shark, obviously he had the big return against Auburn. I think there was another one against UT Chattanooga, but left some to be desired there. You were still looking for that. And obviously last year you had a lot that you were looking for. You need that dynamic guy that makes other teams scared. Like Trey and Shaq and Shark, teams were scared after like that Auburn game of DJ Shark, but you want that guy who's always a constant. You want a guy who they're kicking the ball out of bounds.
Mm-hmm.
You don't give me 13 extra yards because you're kicking it out of bounds because you don't want my guy to touch it. And that's what I think you need. That's what Stingley brings there. Freshmen are now these kids are training. It's like baseball. They're training year round.
Yeah, they are.
They're training year round.
707 camps, man.
They're doing all of this. So you are putting yourself in a position to where you can come on campus and start. Look at what Tua did at Bama. I mean, you're going to win
Clemson's
national championships.
Trevor Lawrence.
Look at Trevor Lawrence. You're winning national championships on the backs of freshmen.
Yeah.
It's no longer, look, and because maybe this is a little bit of because of how college football is with this transfer stuff now. Coaches don't, look, it ain't, you're going wait. Like, you're going to go sit. Okay, you got to wait because he's going to play because he's the senior and you're going to sit because you're the freshman. It's not that anymore. It's, I'm playing the best guys. Yep. Coaches that can't afford that anymore. They want to win games. So, if you're the best guy on the team, you're the best guy on the team. That's who's going to play right
now. You know, one of the things as well, Andrew, that helps a good defense or a talented defense is putting up some points. And I think LSU fans can't wait to actually see a team that throws up a bunch of points early and puts the pressure on the opposing offenses and then gives the defense some room to go out there and play and everything. And I think that's why I said that last hour to you. Why not see if you can make that run? Because here's the thing, though. I keep saying it, and I think you agreed with me the last time you were here. Before you can start setting your eyes on the Tide and sights on them, you got to be the second best team in the West. That's where they were for a while, right? It was either we would walk into a season, and the reason we circled November was because it's either the winner of that game is going.
Yeah.
So, and everything else would be a win. They're not there yet.
No.
And I think, and I said this last year, what Jimbo's going to do at A&M, I think that puts them into that discussion as well. Ole Miss, obviously, they got a ways to go with the sanctions and all that stuff. But, look, Auburn is still Auburn. That guy's under pressure right now. You know, and they haven't played a game.
I was looking at his schedule this year. Yeah. I think he's got, like, 8 top 25 games he's got up. It's so insane what Auburn has to go through this year.
And that's why I think LSU has a chance, you know, obviously, into where they're going to that. And when you look at college football, I think it's going to be interesting that you get into that playoff. I don't think anybody expected him to be in the first playoff poll that was out.
No.
So see what happens.
I mean, and for this team next year, you start with Georgia Southern. So maybe it's a good thing you start with Georgia Southern. You've been doing it in the past where you started with these big games. You start with Miami. You start with BYU a couple years ago when that was supposed to be a bigger game, but
right.
BYU kind of fell off. But you get to start with Georgia Southern at home. You get to experiment with that offense before you go to Texas.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a big key this year. You got that big game at Texas. You come back. You got Northwestern State, Vandy, Utah State. Then you get into the meat of it, Florida, Mississippi State, Auburn, and then you get into Bama. You have to be a threat, and you got to put up points. And I think that's what LSU fans have been waiting for, but I feel like we've been waiting for that. You know, they're going to put up points story for a long time.
A long time.
The offense is going to change.
Right.
I really honestly believe it this year because of Brady and what he's going to bring to this offense. Ensminger is probably, as you say what you will about the man, he gets in games and he can call a game. You saw what he did against A&M.
Yeah.
I mean, he was some of those plays in the fourth and fifth overtimes, they were kind of talking about they drew him up in the dirt, basically. Like, he was just thinking,
right.
All right, I'm going to send this guy here. We're going to do this. So to me, he's a great in-game caller. You put a guy like Brady with that, changing the offense up a little bit. Burrow's got a full year in the system.
Yeah.
This can be a real dynamic
offense. I agree.
This
year. And then the Brady factor, you know, what he can bring yeah. from seeing what Peyton and all of them can do. And I can tell you this personally, when Curtis Johnson was heading up Tulane, Sean was involved. He was always there.
He
was available if you text. He would give him, hey, saw the game last night, think you guys should do that, or, well, he was always open there to it. So I have a hard time believing that,
I mean,
you know,
when you're at Tulane, if it rains, where do you go practice if you're at Tulane?
Exactly. Look,
you go to the Saints facility.
Exactly.
I mean,
that
hasn't changed from when Curtis was there. They were part of that.
Yeah.
They're going to be a part of this right now.
Well, it was cool to hear Phil Steele say, look, Tigers talented. He thinks Tulane could take that next step as well. I'm all about trying to get as many schools, man, in this state. To perform basketball, baseball, and football. It makes covering sports in this state even better. And more importantly, we've been saying it, you know this, the last 2 years, we keep hearing about the 2020 class, you know, that LSU signing. There's a lot of talent right now in high school football that is in the incoming class that we're going to see as freshmen and seniors going into their high school years. So football here over the next couple of years, I think, is going to
It's always going to be big, and with O right now starting to broaden their footprint a little bit. They're going, instead of getting the top guys here and, you know, maybe one guy out of here, one guy.
Right.
They're going back to, no, we're LSU. I'm getting the best guys in the country. I'm going to D.C. area. I'm going to the West Coast.
Yeah.
He's getting the top guys from everywhere and then piling them with the top guys from Louisiana. And I think that's the formula you need to get back where you need to be on the stage to beat Alabama.
Andrew, as we go to break, I saw, can't think of the kid's name. It was early in the week, a defensive lineman, Adam, and he's wearing an LSU shirt, and he's like, my goal is to get other defensive linemen from the state to go there. So when you have guys that are committed, and they're saying, and I'm going to help you get other guys in, that's that step that was missing the last 4 or 5 years.
That's where Cardell Thomas started last year. He's the offensive lineman who his body's completely transformed now. I saw a picture of him from the other day, and he looks completely different than when he was dominating kids at camps. But that was his role in the previous class. He was out to get everybody else. That's kind of TJ Finley's role right now in this class, the quarterback from Ponchatoula. He's kind of one of the main recruiters out there trying to get other guys in. When you get guys like that in your class, it helps
Stingley did
tremendously.
It.
Stingley did it after
I mean,
committed.
His announcement video was about
Marcel did it when he was
exactly
getting, I mean,
right.
All those guys start doing it. When you get other guys on board, it helps you a lot.
Absolutely, because there's only so much that you can do. When other kids start talking and texting each other and saying, let's build a team together.
And you mentioned there's only so much you can do. There's like NCAA rules. There's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can call. There's only so much you can text.
Exactly right.
These kids can blow each other up the whole time.
Hey, come play with me. Let's go win one or two championships. Let's go eat together.
Let's go talk. Let's go do this.
That's exactly
everything
right.
those kids can do. It works out that
Indeed.
Way.
Indeed. That's Andrew Lopez. TimeSpeakUNOLA.com. Cover the prep scene. Cover the Tigers. And right now, you might have heard of this team. New Orleans Pelicans. Get his take on what he's been seeing the last couple of days. I keep saying, Andrew, don't pinch me. I cannot believe what I'm seeing from the love of the fans, what David Griffin's doing, Zion, the works. Let's talk a little hoops when we come back. 800-998-1003. And yes, I will ask you the question that got me, the intern, and Brian and Old East arguing for about an hour and a half yesterday.
I like it.
Who should the Pelicans open up the regular season with?
Oh, I got this one. I got this one.
It's the Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Have you been injured on an offshore rig or know someone who has? Then you'll want to work with a firm that truly understands maritime law. Offshore injuries are governed by a set of laws that are quite different than land accidents. So it's important that no time is wasted finding the best maritime attorney for your case. An experienced attorney from the Gavery Law Group will help determine what your next step should be. If you need legal advice or have been injured offshore, call Gavery Law Group today at 985-223-4400. Or follow us on Facebook. Get Gavery. Get results.
Warm weather means baseball, but it also means swarming termites. Hi, I'm Nichols baseball coach Seth Thibodeau. When I want to strike out termites, I put the local experts Dan Foster and Billy Foster in the game. Terminex targets termites where they live and eliminates the colony. Call a local team at Terminex of Houma for a free inspection and quote on termite protection. It will be a home run.
Terminex is a proud supporter of Nichols Athletics.
My name is Big Mike Fazy, and I know tough times. I remember my mom counting pennies to buy a loaf of bread. Always promised myself to strive to do better for my children, and I have been blessed to do so. Now I want to strive to do better for our communities, from education to career opportunities, from coastal erosion to infrastructure. I know we can make better tomorrows because I've done it all my life. I ask for your support and your vote. Big Mike Fazy for State Senate.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Michael Fazy Sr.
Locally owned and operated, Ruderman is looking for licensed plumbers, experienced drain cleaners, and plumbing apprentices to join our growing team. We offer full benefits including health, dental, long and short-term disability, paid vacation, and 401k. Ruderman is your local plumbing expert that provides full-service drain cleaning and plumbing repairs throughout the greater New Orleans area. If you're a licensed plumber, experienced drain cleaner, or looking to get into the exciting plumbing field by learning as an apprentice, Ruderman is the place for you. Contact Matthew today to join our dynamic team.
Call Matthew at 504-522-9536.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Don't forget High Noon tomorrow. Big announcement here on ESPN New Orleans. And as I keep saying, it is not about how Jordan, not the haircut, this one over here is just grinning. He's all giddy. All right, so, Andrew, simple question. Who should the Pelicans open up the regular season with?
Not the Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay. That was his contention. I want to hear the reason.
I think there's bigger dates for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think all four games with the Los Angeles Lakers, three of those games could probably be national TV games, like Thursday before All-Star break or Christmas Day. I think Christmas Day meetings happen. Pelicans play at Los Angeles, I think is a pretty good
nightcap.
Yeah, I mean, that you go on. I'd like for it to be earlier in the day, but get some things done. But right. You know, if that's what you got to do, I think that's a big thing. Honestly, if I'm thinking Zion's first game, it's going to be a home game. So you're going to open at home. I don't see them putting the LeBron and AD on the road for the first game. Like I'd want Zion at home. I say give me Memphis. Let me put 1 and 2 because you can make a marketing thing around that. It's if you're the Pelt, you're probably not going to look at Memphis as a possible threat next year. Yeah, they're going to have Ja. They're going to have Jaren Jackson Jr. But you should be favored in that game. Mm-hmm. You want to start the Zion era off with a win. So to me, I'd take a team like Memphis, and you have 1 pick versus 2 pick, Zion versus Ja Morant.
All right, so one of the things that they were arguing is basically what you just said. Then they added the whole fear factor about they didn't want that to start with the loss and things of that nature. My contention to that, now I'm going to counter your 2 points.
I got a story on that.
I'll counter your 2 points on that. On this, you're assuming, or because Jordan's point was, wait a couple of weeks for the teams to get together, then you have a better matchup, and that's why Christmas. I all agree with everybody, the Christmas matchup's happening, you know, with a big marquee name and everything. I'm looking at it from, we're sitting on the table, right? You're representing ESPN, I represent TNT, Jordan's NBA. That Tuesday or Wednesday game yep. to open the season, during football season, I want eyeballs. It's the biggest story of the offseason, especially with KD hurt, Clay hurt. Now, if KD would have gone to New York and all that, that's a no-brainer. It's the Knicks or Nets, wherever he's with, and still might be with Kyrie and all that. But it's LeBron getting his running mate that he handpicked, yep. and that's AD. And it's the team that he left for that because of which got the number one pick in the draft, not the two, not the three, the number. People want to see Zion play. When he plays, the ratings go up when Duke played. So my point is, from a rating standpoint, my contention was, it's a no-brainer, you want to do that. But I get and understand the Christmas Day and all of that, but to me, you can't assume a win against a lower opponent, yeah. and you can't assume that you're going to do better in 10 games or in 10 days or in 3 weeks, which is why I'm like, you know what? Have at it in week number one.
I don't buy that you don't pick the Lakers because you don't think you're going to win that game. I just think that you want the first game of the Zion era to be at home. They're not going to bring the Lakers here on opening night. That's just not going to happen. If a Lakers-Pelicans matchup happens on opening night, you're in L.A. I think they want the Pelicans here. I think that you can make a pretty good national matchup with the number one pick versus the number two pick, so you can get your ratings that wise. I don't know what other team does that. There's going to be other matchups. You're going to have, your TNT is going to be Toronto and Boston or Toronto and Philly, you know, for banner night. You're going to have those types of things. So you're going to have that. You're going to have,
it could Why be, not Milwaukee?
No. Because it wasn't as an interesting series as but Toronto and the 76ers.
But you have the MVP, the two teams that were in the
You
East.
Could do that. Yeah. I don't think it's an as interesting opener than
Thank you.
If you put Boston. You put Philly there, it's the bounce game. You go back to that. And then okay. you'll see that bounce 87,000 times.
And then back to what Andrew was saying, I don't think they want the whole storyline to be, oh, the Anthony Davis saga. I think that first game, they want it to be just
they want the celebration.
Yeah,
they want the celebration.
Zion.
They don't want the drama yes. that came through.
See, I don't want to go back to a producing standpoint. Like, the more storylines, the better. You could have
two storylines. Now you're putting together, oh, it's Zion's first game with the Anthony Davis storyline. You could double your ratings. You could have the Zion's first night, which people are going to tune in to see that first game no matter what. And then later on, you could regain that audience with the whole
But you
Anthony
can only
Davis.
Have two games on opening night that are going to be on national TV.
Yeah, but now you're
just, I don't. You're not that game. I don't think you're that game.
You don't think singling, you're, I don't think, you don't you're think the Pels are.
You're not one of the four teams. So there's four teams on opening night usually. That's mm-hmm. going to be open night on a Tuesday.
And last year they did it like you had a Tuesday. And then standalone game, and then
yeah, I think it was
you had a double.
So I don't think you're that. You're the next night's game.
Yeah,
you're not TNT's game. You're ESPN's game.
Okay,
I think that's where
the
you
Wednesday,
go.
Right.
I think if you're ESPN's game, ESPN can build up the two kids. You can be the seven, and then you can the 9:30 can be Lakers and somebody or Clippers and somebody if Kawhi's out there. Okay, you don't know what that.
I think you'd just be combining too many storylines if you did Lakers and.
I don't know if there's
Pelicans.
Never too many storylines.
That's what I was going to say.
I don't think there's ever too many.
Believe me, they want as
you
many.
You expand your ratings
you know,
more.
You know, you're going to get more ratings with as many storylines.
But quick story on this. Here's why I will never go away from.
Bill, I'm coming to you after this.
Trying to shy away from a bigger game on opening night. When I was at Holy Cross teaching years back, we opened our gym, our student center, after but 4 or 5 years of not having a gym. We played at Mount Carmel. We played all these other places. Our coach at the time wanted to open up with, I'm not going to name names because mm-hmm. I don't want to disparage any other highs. He didn't want to open up against the team we wanted to open up against. He wanted to open up against the team that we knew we were going to beat by 50 and open it up that way. Me and assistant coach of mine said, no, that's not happening. We wanted Jesuit. We wanted our rival. Let's put, like, that was a tougher game. Mm-hmm. We wanted as many people in there. We put 2,200 people inside that gym. It was an electric atmosphere because you're playing your rival.
Exactly.
You're doing that. You do want that. I agree with the Lakers part about that. You would have the most electric atmosphere in
Think
there.
Think of the leading. When does the schedule come out? In September?
I just don't see the Lakers being on the road to start the season.
Okay, well, that's the thing. Let's say they're saying, hey, no worries. We'll take them here. Because, again, the place that makes the most sense, because Jordan was like, hey, they're not going to want to do it because it's L.A. But my thing is, what better atmosphere than a crowd that can't wait to see their new guy?
I think the crowd is going to be there anyway. The crowd's going to be there anyway.
I agree.
So you have that. So let's, you know, bring in 1-2 and give ESPN the matchup.
I'll give Andrew to your cause. I'm still up, I think, 5-3.
No, you're not. You're down by 2.
I am not down by 2.
Yes, you are. You had my dad and someone else that called yesterday.
No, that is not true. We had a couple of callers. Bill, thanks for calling the show. What you got for us?
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
The first game of the season, this is going to sound a little bit weird, but I thought that the Warriors and the Pelicans would be a good matchup because it's like everybody feels like the Warriors are going for the changing of the guard. This would be a really good opportunity to see what Steph Curry and Draymond Green can do without the rest of the guys. And it'd be kind of like the old guard and the new guard.
If the Warriors weren't opening up a new building this year,
yeah,
I'd give you that. But again, it's to me, it's like L.A. They're not putting the Warriors on the road to start the season.
Okay, well,
they got a $2 billion stadium.
Okay,
would you say
those are the two marquee teams on the West Coast right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can't have them open them the same night.
Oh, you can definitely go. I mean, you could put one of them on Wednesday, one of them on Tuesday.
Okay.
You can spread that out to where they're not opening against each other.
You don't think they send the Pels to L.A. that first one, huh? And you wait the Christmas game here?
I think Christmas is there. You think
LeBron's
not
going
anywhere. I agree with it.
LeBron's not leaving home for Christmas.
He's not leaving home for Christmas.
LeBron is the one who just negotiated with Silver to, I think it was maybe starting next year, whoever wins the NBA championship doesn't have to play on Christmas Day. It's basically like a reward for winning. Like, you can spend Christmas Day with your family. So he is very much into the scheduling stuff. They're not making LeBron leave L.A. for
Commissioner
Christmas.
Commissioner LeBron.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, the other idea I had was the Knicks. I thought that would be a good storyline because, you know, they cried so badly about not getting Zion like they were supposed to get, they thought. And, you know, then you got R.J. Barrett and Zion, plus it's the Knicks.
Now, that's what they're doing for Summer League. That's the opening game in Summer League. That's the marquee matchup for the opening of Summer League. It's
really?
Zion versus R.J. Barrett. So I could see that, too, especially if that game does well for ESPN. Obviously, it'll do well for Zion-related reasons. But I could see a Knicks matchup being one of those in the cards.
Okay, I have one more thing to ask you all about, and then I'm going to hang up and listen to what
you
think. Two terms that come to my mind whenever I think of sports in general, but team sports in particular, that are so, so important. Are talent evaluation and player development. Now, in the David Griffin era, I just thank God for Gail Benson that she picked David Griffin and that everything that he's done seems to be just so, so right. And literally starting with the training staff bringing in, because that was always a big issue with the Pelicans. But I just wanted to hear y'all's opinion, because you surely know more than I do about the coaching staff, about, you know, their expertise in not only talent evaluation, but player development after they get the guys there. I'll hang up and listen.
The addition of bringing back a coach this past week or last couple of days to Gentry staff, I saw your tweet, was probably a good thing as well.
Jamel McMillan is coming back to the staff, and it's still unclear maybe where his role is right now because you didn't lose anybody yet off of this staff. So you're really just adding another piece to help with player development. You do have to appreciate what they're doing. You look at a guy like Jahlil Okafor, who went from being almost out the league, having to take a non-guaranteed two-year deal to even stay with the Pelicans. They're making, you know, he's averaging 8-5 last year. A lot of that, you know, I'm not saying that you just the Pels, but they took a guy like Cambridge Williams, who gambled on himself as an undrafted guy. They made him a starter by the end of the year. There was games he was guarding LeBron James.
Right.
Cambridge Williams was an undrafted guy, didn't take a two-way deal, bet on himself. He's guarding LeBron James.
Are you listening? Because That's one of the reasons I say bring him on. You're sitting there saying, yesterday, I'm sorry. You see, this is going to go on and on. And
I'm here for it.
He was sitting there saying, they're not going to be ready. I'm like, they don't even have a team yet. They have five players on the contract. The Pels right now, if I gave Andrew a pen, could probably give me a starting five and bench rotations, because you also have guys that played together last year, and the other guys from L.A. are used to playing one another. They're ready to go, I think, sooner than later.
You can't be scared. Here's the thing with NBA basketball. Not much is going to change from day one to day 15. You're not going to be in rhythm in your rotation until 20, 25 games in the season. So just bring them. Let's go. It's one game.
Well, the reason why I'm giving you grief is because what you were saying to me a week ago with the whole, we just basically gave the Lakers a championship.
You said they were going to be irrelevant in two seasons. Which, you said they're going to be stinking
in two
seasons.
Does it not look like that's what's going to happen?
Be better in
they're,
two,
it's, they're not going to be stinking in two seasons. That. Now, 24, 25?
Right.
I don't know.
Not in two seasons.
No.
Right. I'm going to stick with my two seasons.
Okay.
We'll remember that. We got the tape. We'll play it back.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
We'll play it back.
If I'm wrong,
I'm just saying bring it out. To me, when I'm thinking of storylines and everything, and we were talking about the NFL yesterday. This year's different. They're going with the Packers and Bears, the two oldest franchises and all that. But they won matchups. You have to take into account it's football right in the middle. How do I get people to tune into that Tuesday and Wednesday? Because by Thursday, Friday, they'll be like, we'll catch up again on Christmas. Yep. But it's those two games, those 2 days that are marquee. What are the top storylines? It's got to be two of those teams are part of it. Now, we'll see. I say bring them on. I'd love to
You know Toronto's that. Getting the game. You know the Lakers are getting the game. Yeah. You know Golden State's getting the game. Who else gets one? Right. Give me anybody against Zion.
That's Andrew Lopez. His thoughts on Zion when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. It's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Women Heart is in a race to save lives. Heart disease is the number one killer of women. It's 80% preventable, if you know the facts. Millions of women are living with or at risk of different types of heart disease, like AFib, which is a type of irregular heartbeat. It affects both women and men, but women with AFib have a higher risk of stroke and death than men. Get educated. See your doctor. Know the facts. Diet and exercise are key to staying healthy. Know the risks. Women Heart does something really unique, solely focusing on women and providing peer-to-peer support. To win this race, we all have to do it together. Our hearts beat as one. To learn more, visit womenheart.org.
Child psychiatrists explain why organized team sports are so important for the development of young people.
In boys, at least, being on a sports team is associated with being less sad, and the hippocampus plays a role in that.
And a look into baseball's unwritten rules with MLB insider Danny Noble.
There's more of an acceptance that you can flip your bat, you can show emotion on the field.
Every edition of The Sporting Life on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
800-998-1003. Andrew Lopez, time speaking to you at NOLA.com, covers your New Orleans Pelicans. Quick thoughts on Zion. Let's start looking at this roster here in a little bit, but since Thursday, you were there at the draft. I mean, you did all of that. You come back Friday. You see that. Then the court dedication on Saturday. Thoughts?
He is embracing New Orleans the way you need to embrace New Orleans. in order to make this city love you. And he is doing all the right things, especially everything that's happened in the last 6 months with Anthony Davis. He, Zion is just doing every correct thing you can do right now. I mean, the kid is, he's still a kid. Like, for another, like, 2 weeks, he is still a 18-year-old kid. And then he, you know, will be a 19-year-old kid. He will still be a child. But at the same time, I think the biggest takeaway that I've seen with him is he is also ready to lead a franchise at 18. He knows what it's doing. Pels put out a video today. He kind of put out a picture the other day.
Right.
He's putting on his suit as a signed picture from Drew Brees in the thing I put out there on Friday. It was, you know, passing the torch. Who dat? They put out the video of it today, and in the video, he asks the question, am I ready for this? And his stepdad is there saying, yeah, you're ready. He's like, yeah, I'm ready. He knows what's about to happen to him. The kid is phenomenal. Like, you wait. It's kind of like Drew,
mm-hmm,
in the sense of you're always waiting for something bad for somebody to say about Drew, and it just never happens. You're waiting for that with Zion right now. Like, it seems like he is, like, just too good of a guy, but I mean, that's how he was raised. It's just kind of kid he is.
You mentioned a body transformation when you're referring to an LSU player. What I keep telling people too is, because I heard it this morning on First Take, you know, you had a guy say, look, he doesn't develop a jump shot, he hadn't had all this and everything, and Marcus Spears and Max Kellerman at First Take going, he hadn't even played a game yet. It's like, you know, he's like, well, LeBron was ready-made out of high school. I'm like, no, he wasn't. Like, Michael Jordan took him a couple of years. The step back, you know, fadeaway jumper didn't come to about 7 years. And I mean, it's Giannis won the MVP yesterday. He's in the league 5-6 years. It takes some time. We're understanding of that. Griffin keeps saying patience, but this guy has things immediately out the box that will translate. But he's going to work. He's going to get better.
He still averaged on a team,
yeah,
with R.J. Barrett, Cam Reddish, Ty Jones. He still averaged 22.5 points, almost 9 rebounds a game, shot 68% from the field at Duke. He's playing ACC-level competition. He's playing national teams. The guy can play basketball. I don't care if he's too I bet, oh, he's going to have to lose some weight. No, he's not. He's just going to have to just get in shape to get his stamina up. He's not going to have to – this is how he has played 4 years, okay? LeBron came in and still averaged 20 a game. I still think Zion can do that. He's that dynamic of a player. Right. They're going to run that much. He should get 8 to 10 points a game off fast breaks.
I mean, I just
– I mean, it's insane what he can actually do on a basketball
court. This is pick and roll heaven, right? I mean, Jackson Hayes, I mean, this is pick and roll heaven. I'm thinking this is easy. You just start the elbow, wherever the defensive player goes, you just go. I mean, again, I go back to the Golden State Warriors. There's, you know, that video of Klay Thompson scoring his big game in which he dribbled twice or something like that.
50 points on like 8 dribbles or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You see them score points where they don't ever dribble. It's just passes. If you get to that level and that point where the ball moves, their space is going to be there. And if you do the pick and roll, you go the bye-bye game to the Rockets. It was a pick and roll. Curry and Green, and it was a layup. It wasn't a three. It wasn't a low percentage shot. It was a layup that pieced out the Rockets. You know what I mean? It's just that's the kind of stuff that guy can do, and that's something that Ball can do, Drew can do. I mean, this – you don't have to – everyone's like, where's the shooting coming from? I'm like, it's going to come from inside of 5 feet, you know?
You're going to – you know where else the shooting is going to come from? The $31 million you have right now in cap space.
Bingo.
You can go get shooting. You can figure it out, all right? You go back and look at Ingram's percentages. When Ingram, and this is not to say LeBron's a bad player, but when LeBron is on the court, LeBron dominates the ball. He dominates attention. You have to learn how to play with LeBron. It takes time. You don't just get – it doesn't happen in a year. Ingram's percentages from three went way down. Josh Hart's percentages from three went way down. Lonzo went up, but that's just because nobody was defending Lonzo. He still shot 33%. We want to talk about how bad of a shooter Lonzo is. Go back and look at the percentages. Lonzo shot better from three than Jrue Holiday last year. So all of these guys have the ability. We know Drew can shoot it better than what he did last year. He had an awful start to the season shooting-wise. Once he got in rhythm, he's obviously always going to be a threat. Ingram can get back to being more 36%, 37%, 38%.
And a lot of that was Drew Andrew, not to interrupt you. You had no point guard. You had Alfred Payton was injured.
He was doing a lot. That's why he had, his first 2 months were really, really bad shooting wise. He was below 30 for a good point. You're going to get that. You're going to get another shooter in there. You could go get a five who can shoot. You can do a lot of different things with this lineup and with that cap space. If you want to make a push for the playoffs next year, there's no reason you can't do that. I right now, you're probably looking at 37 to 40 wins. If you get another couple of pieces, you can make a push for the playoffs next year, and I think that's what Griff wants. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Guess what? You're going to have a pick. You're going to have a lottery pick if you don't make it, and then you can also have those two picks from Cleveland coming up if they're outside of top 10, which they should be.
So what about a guy like Tobias Harris? We saw him on Josh Hart's little podcast this week. What are your thoughts on him?
I don't like Tobias for the fit on this team. If you're going to go get me a guy at the four or the five, like it's got to be somebody who I think is going to rebound a little bit better. I like Dwayne Dedman. I like Brooke Lopez. Even Al Horford fits. I don't know if Al Horford has a commit for four years, $110 million, I don't know if I want it to be New Orleans just because of the long term of that. You give me somebody short term, you go give me Brooke Lopez or Dwayne Dedman. I like those guys a little bit more. Tobias, it's a weird fit in that offense. I have a four. His name is Zion. That's where I want him.
Right.
If I can play Zion at the five if I want, then I could play. It's too much of a. I mean, you're going to make it fit. Bottom line is, you want talent. If Tobias is the guy you got to get, you're going to get. If you want to go get Chris Middleton, you put your name in the hat for Chris Middleton and figure out the fit later. The bottom line is, Alvin Gentry wants talent on the team, and he can figure it out. Oh, do I play this guy here? That's a good problem to have if you got to figure out how to put all your talent on the floor and you got to have somebody else on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
It's better than, all my really good talent's on the floor. And I still don't have anybody else to use right now. So it's a really good thing, for the Pels. And you still have Christian Wood at the four, who showed you some flashes last year. You still have Jahlil Okafor. So I don't think you need to go make a big splash. I think if I'm the Pels, I'm taking that money. If I don't see anybody I like, I'm going to 2020. Maybe I take somebody. Look, hey, you want to get rid of a bad contract?
Yeah.
Come on, give me a pick in the contract. I'll take it. Let's go.
Here's one of the other things, too. And you just heard it from Griffin on Thursday and Friday. He kept saying, patience. Got a plan, but patience. So 2007, Kevin Durant was drafted by Oklahoma City. I keep referencing them as what I would like to see. Hear me out. So in 07, 08, no playoffs. In 08, Russell Westbrook's drafted. 08, 09, no playoffs. The following year, in 2009, Harden was drafted. Playoffs, lost Western Conference. First round, okay? Then they made it to the conference finals the following year. But that's 4 or 5 years since Durant was gone. So I love that I keep hearing Griffin say, patience. He knows. He sees the end game here. What we're seeing start the season in October won't be the team that takes the Pels to a title. I mean, it's not happening. So you're going to have money. If they do well, other people want to come in, see where the league sort of changed. So I'm with you. Grab that 30, spread it right, bring in some vets that can sort of help them, and figure out who your core is, right? Is it Ball, Zion, and Hayes? I mean, figure out what they do. Then you got draft picks the next couple of years. Do that, and then come to see it again. Kevin Durant, third season, playoffs. And you're sitting there, Andrew, and I agree with you. If it's done right, I don't think it'll be that long to make a push for the eighth, but a team that drafted 3 MVPs had to wait 3 years. Now, once they did, they were off and running. But I'd like to see something like that.
The other thing with the money that you need to watch out for is, what are you going to do with Brandon Ingram next year? Brandon Ingram is going to be a restricted free agent. He's going to command a big deal. Are you going to let him go? Are you going to deal him during the season? Do you want to keep that cap money to put him into that? So you have to be mindful of the long approach. You're not going to win an NBA title next year.
They're not.
If you want to go put 1 to 10,000 odds on, or whatever it is right now in Vegas, or go for it, put your dollar on it. Cool. It's going to be a very, very long shot for them to go ahead and win an NBA title next year around a centerpiece of Jrue Holiday and a rookie in Zion Williamson. He's still going to be a rookie. So you have to think not just this year. You got to think next year,
yeah,
down the line. And I think that's what Griff needs to do with the cap space.
You know, yesterday you watched in the NBA Awards. I did an opening video at the beginning of the show of how we got to that point. And you see a quick little video montage of the postseason with Toronto winning. And you see some of those highlights. There was some really good basketball played, yeah, in a lot of those series with some really good players and some really good shots. And by guys that have been in the league 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, 10 years. I mean, you're looking at AD going into year 8. I mean, there's plenty of time to grow. I know there's a ton of excitement, but there's the second contract before he even gets to how old AD is right now for Zion. So I think, you know, temper it from this aspect. Have excitement. I want to see growth. But understand, it's really just in its infancy.
You mentioned the NBA Awards last night. Giannis, Pascal Siakam, Rudy Gobert take home MVP, Most Improved Player, Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
None of those guys in their first year in the league averaged more than 6.2 points a game. Giannis,
6.2
points.
Wow.
Giannis was still in his infancy. Siakam was bouncing from the G League. He had to lead the G League team to the finals. And Rudy Gobert was, all of these guys are going to learn how to play.
That's a great
and
point.
So, and now, I don't expect Zion to average 6.2 points a game next year.
No, he won't get that.
Put a one in front of that. You know, he's going to get points, but let this team grow like that Thunder team did.
That's what I'm saying.
And then you can see where
it
goes.
Let him go and see it. It's sort of like when you watch a football
team. And then don't trade
him
away for cap space.
Yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. Just look at it and see where they go and give those guys some time to learn and play to where it's second nature and get it. I think it's going to be a fun team. I love something Griffin said that I want to talk to you about when we come back about the philosophy. And it was your question on how to build the team. It's a great question. I've been talking a lot about the answers. The Sports Hangover with Andrew Lopez, Gus Kattengill, and Jordan the intern, who feels great because he got one guy to agree with him. Congratulations. You're still losing. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
The locally owned UPS store in Houma does much more than shipping. They offer a wide range of products and services to help and support small business owners and individuals. The UPS store in Houma offers packing, shipping boxes, large format printing, banners, shredding, faxing, and more. The UPS store is your one-stop store for business and more. Located on Martin Luther King Boulevard across from Chick-fil-A in Houma. Check them out on Facebook.
Hulu's paying Tobin Heath, Carly Lloyd, Mallory Pugh, and other U.S. soccer stars a lot of money to do a new goal celebration called Hulu Has Live Sports. Why? It's simple. Because Hulu has live sports. You can watch the biggest games and sporting events like the Women's World Cup this summer on 60-plus top channels. No cable required. Plus, you can stream the entire Hulu library. Start your free trial of Hulu today. Live TV plan required. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Hulu.com.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Golic and Wingo.
What do players want to get out of this? Obviously, if there's going to be more money, you're splitting revenue, so you're going to get some of that money. But also, you end up not having any inactives. We don't understand the inactives anyway.
Inactives make no damn sense.
You have 53-man roster and 46 dress on game days. Why?
Yeah.
Just dress them all. I mean, then you have a 10-person practice squad. So out of this, will the players try to get, say, you're going to go two more games? We need more guys on the roster.
Correct.
So do you add 5 players, which is 160 more? Do you add 7 players, which is 225, 224 more? Do you add players to the roster? That's a win for players. Players will be able to play 18 games. Yeah. They will be able to play 18 games. I know you're going to hear a lot of cry foul on it, but all of a sudden, if the money's there and there are more jobs there, you're going to see how feasible it is.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN 2.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Final segment. Don't forget tomorrow high noon. Please tune in for some big news here on ESPN New Orleans. Andrew, you might have even tweeted out here as well, and I saw a lot of people comment on it. You just look at the roster and where the players were drafted. What are they, 9 first-round draft picks or something?
Yeah, it's an insane amount of first-round picks. It's the same amount of guys who are in the top 3. You got Zion, you got Lonzo, you got Ja. I mean, you forget about Ja Leel Okafor, Brandon Ingram's up there. So you got a lot of guys who are in the top quarter of the lottery, top 4 picks of the lottery. So you have a lot of guys who came in with pedigree, with potential. Now, you look at that, it doesn't mean much. I mean, it just means you were picked high. You look at Toronto, I've heard this stat 87,000 times now. It's Toronto won a championship without having a lottery pick on the roster. You know, Kawhi was 15th. You know, Giannis was outside the lottery. So it doesn't matter. It goes back to Bill's question about player development. And that's what's key is, can they develop these guys? And I think now that Lonzo, Ingram, and Hart specifically are now away from LeBron, it's hard for young guys to play with LeBron. And that's not to take anything away from him. Unless you're a Kyrie-level kind of guy, it's hard to adapt to playing 1 year where you're the playmaker, and then the next year you're not the playmaker when you've been the playmaker your entire career. That's what happened with Lonzo. Ingram, you saw when LeBron was hurt, that's when he took off. That's what he averaged. 21 or 22 points.
He played
points.
Much better towards the end of the season.
21, 22 points the last 25, 26 games. Josh Hart, again, had a much better year the year before LeBron got to town. You can get those guys happy and relaxed and playing in this system again. I think you could see a lot of growth from those three guys.
And I think it's key with Zion. You keep referencing his personality. He's a very inclusive player.
Yeah.
And it seems like that was sort of helped from that aspect of it. The question that you asked David Griffin about building the philosophy, I loved hearing rebound and run. I loved hearing defense. They're going to build guys that can play defense first, and the system's going to allow the points. That makes so much sense because we cover it in football. Defense will win you championships, will keep you in close games. If you can play defense, you're going to give your team a quicker chance to try to win.
The thing that you have right now, Gentry's an offensive guy. He's going to make the offense easy. You're going to be able to put up 100 points with this team. But the key is going to be to not allow 100. You have a potential to be a very elite defense at the core of Lonzo, Drew, and Zion Williamson. Lonzo is one of the better defensive guards in the NBA. Obviously, we know what Drew can do, and Zion has that potential. You bring guy. That's why you drafted a guy like Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who comes in and is a tough, two-way-minded guy. Same with Jackson Hayes, who can be your rim protector. You get guys who can switch in this NBA. Zion can switch onto a guard. Drew can switch onto a 4 or 5.
Yeah.
That you want that switchability. And if you can play hard defense at that pace, then you can keep things going.
Right. And then if there's a missed shot or a steal, you're off and running.
You're gone.
Yeah. I think it's going to be an exciting style of basketball to watch. I really honestly
It's going to remind me of the Kings from last year where they ultimately don't make the playoffs. I think they finished like 38-44, whatever it was.
But you saw that crowd.
But they ran, and they got the guys behind them. And I think for the first year, your job this year is to get all those season ticket packages that were bought right after the draft because people are excited about Zion.
To renew.
You got to keep them. Now, here's the thing. As excited as all these people were about Zion, obviously, the huge party on Fulton Street, the second Jackson Hayes was drafted, nobody knew what to do. Nobody knew about this kid. So you still have people to convert. Everybody knows they're supposed to be excited about Zion.
A couple block shots.
Everybody knows they're supposed to be excited about Zion, right. But there's still more that has to come along, and you have to finish developing this team, and I think that's what Griff wants to do.
5 days until the start of free agency, 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. You ready?
I guess so. I don't know where, but
you think it'll be guys that come in and fill the roster, not a big splash.
I don't think you're going to end up with a big name guy. I would be shocked if he gets a guy who's making more than $25 million. I think it's guys to fill in, and you need to take that cap space and roll it, or you have that extra spot on your roster to bring somebody in. Like, okay, I'll take a guy for a couple of picks.
_Andrew_Lopez, the way to follow him over on Twitter. Excellent, excellent coverage of your New Orleans Pelicans. What, I don't like the grade.
I mean, he's also right about the whole argument.
You know what? It's all the time we have for Jordan the intern. Andrew, thanks for stopping in. Appreciate you for tuning in. Big news tomorrow at high noon. Tune in tomorrow to ESPN New Orleans. Matt Moscona, and after further reviews, up next.